Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Carl Banks Report is brought to you by GEICO. Saving you money on car insurance has been in GEICO's playbook for over 75 years. So what are you waiting for? Get a quote at GEICO.com. By Spine and Rehabilitation Centers in New Jersey and Pain. Call 833-NJ-HERTZ today. By Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit one of their 80 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Or book online at handandstone.com. And by your local Kia dealers. Visit your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give everything. Introducing the first ever Kia K5, out with the old, in with the turbocharged new. Carl, how's your bye week going?
Bye week is going good. Going good. You know, we got a little bit of a reprieve from Giants talk, I guess, in terms of preparing for a game, but I think it's been an eventful week nonetheless for the Giants, with, you know, a coach being replaced and a few COVID tests positive.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's been a very eventful bye week. Let me start, unfortunately, with the COVID test. I mean, here's the reality of it. I was saying this the other day. There is a COVID positive every single day, not only in this country, but in the National Football League, where it's become so just a part of your daily routine. Like, okay, this guy tested positive. Okay, eight guys are in quarantine now for a few days. So it's just, it happens all the time. But the other stuff that happened this week, what happened, Carl? I mean, you're around. What in your mind caused Mark Colombo, respected guy, former offensive lineman, former coach with the Cowboys, what caused this relationship to go sour so quickly in year one?
It's interesting because, yeah, I'm around, but I'm not around. But know about what Joe Judge is doing is he wants an agenda-free environment. So if there's one agenda, everybody moves in the right direction. Again, I don't know what happened, but clearly they fell off the same page. And he felt the need to make a change. And coaches do that. You know, they don't all the time get along with their staff, and they make changes that they think is a better fit.
So here are the things that none of us know except for you, because you played in the league. So to me, I have no idea about how hands-on a coach would be when it comes to position coaches and what they would get involved in. When you're playing, would Parcells ever get more directly involved and kind of step in over a positional coach to kind of get involved in correcting technique or doing things such as that that's being reported that Joe Judge was doing? Was that normal when you played and Bill was the coach?
You have no idea the stories I could tell you.
I'm sure.
Bill Parcells' personal interest in my technique during the course of drills would literally, and I had a great teacher, Al Groh was one of the best, but Bill Parcells would come into a drill, right in the middle of it, stand in the middle of the drill, and coach me from bending my knees to when the ball is snapped, where my hands are. And he's coaching me live through a drill. So it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for a Bill Belichick to take an interest in defensive backs and technique and to go in the middle of a drill and start teaching guys. It's not uncommon to see Nick Saban do it. He's done it since I was a freshman in college. That's part of the teaching aspect of it. Now, sometimes what people don't understand, they'll say, well, these guys never played, and Colombo played. Sometimes it's not the message, it's the messenger. Mm. And if you have a coach that's competent, and understands how things should be done, there may be a different way to teach it. And that could be what it is. And maybe Mark Colombo pushed back. Maybe Mark Colombo wasn't getting the results from certain players that they needed. Now, you know, we've read reports where Andrew Thomas's regression based on, you know, his offensive line coach and the guy who trains him, it says it's directly because his technique was changed. And obviously the last 3 weeks he's gotten better. I don't know if they sat down, evaluated film, and said, we need to let him do what he's good at. So all of those things factor in. And at times, it could be just a clash of personality.
Yeah.
And it's just that simple. And if a coach, you know, if you cannot get along with your head coach, you got to find a new boss.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just that simple. So I don't know to what degree it was heated. I have heard that they've had some disagreements openly. And when you got a head coach, that's your boss. And, you know, you just can't do things the way you want to do them. And, you know, I think Colombo was a pretty good coach, so there had to be a reason why they made this change.
When Bill would teach you technique or get involved, was Al Groh cool with it? Did he roll his eyes, or was it kind of, hey, he's the head coach, he's getting involved?
They're on the same page. They're on the same page. And then when Bill steps out of the drill, he'll look at Al Groh and say, make sure you keep doing this. Mm. Jumbo Elliott can tell you a ton of stories, too. He used to take the same interest in Jumbo Elliott.
So it,
and
it's
just literally coach him in live drills. And there were times where I just wanted to just stop and say, can you get the heck out of the way?
Right.
I got it. But it happens. But, you know, and I've also been in coaches' meetings. And there, you know, I've heard Bill Parcells talk about certain types of players, right? Mm. And how they need to be coached. And, you know, he'll ask the coach, what are you doing? How come he's not getting better? And coach might say, well, coach, I've screamed at him, I blah, blah, blah. And Bill says, you know what? Certain players in this league, and this guy's personality is one of them, he's like an old mule. You can beat him only but so much, and then they just stop moving, period.
Right.
You got to change the approach sometimes. So, I mean, coaching is teaching, but coaching is connecting. That's what it is. If you look at, I'll give you an example, Leonard Williams, right? Nobody's really connected with Leonard Williams like they have this year with this staff. You know, they found something that has gotten him motivated week in and week out, and he's enjoying it. Other coaches were probably taking a different approach.
Yeah.
So you have to take an interest in, you know, how you get your guys to play.
I wonder, you know, here's Joe Judge, a rookie head coach, and he hires a very experienced offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett. I mean, the guy was a decent head coach. If maybe Jason Garrett was the hirer of Mark Colombo, and for Joe Judge, maybe he never wanted him to begin with, because the guy they brought in is a guy that he interviewed before the season. So should a head coach be more, and I look, I'm purely speculating, Carl. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm just using logic of, Garrett's the OC. Garrett brings in a guy that was on his staff, and it doesn't seem like there was ever a connection between Colombo and Joe Judge, and Joe Judge was interviewing other guys to be his offensive line coach, so maybe that was a mistake early on that he should have been directly bringing in his coach instead of his offensive coordinator's coach.
Well, I think he gave his coordinators the opportunity to bring in their staff, to build their staff, because at the end of the day, they all report to Joe Judge, but the coordination of an offense, a defense, a special team is based on the staff that you feel comfortable with teaching players. So he probably could have overruled it, but he says, okay, this is what you're comfortable with, Jason, go for it. But now, if it's not working out, obviously you see he has the power of the, I'm the head coach, and this guy's gone, and this is your guy now.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, part of the situation with Colombo, he worked for Jason Garrett as a head coach. He probably had more autonomy with a Jason Garrett head coach than he does with a Joe Judge. And maybe his style was a little different. Maybe it was, you know, I don't want to say arrogant, but maybe he felt, you know, a little more power in what he did just based on his relationship with Garrett as head coach. And now Garrett's just a coordinator. So he has to answer to a higher level.
One thing, and we're talking to Carl Banks, that's been interesting throughout the year, just observing it. I haven't had a strong opinion one way or the other. It was just something I hadn't noticed. And that was the way he had been rotating offensive linemen in and out. Like a guy like Matt Peart. And Pert's been impressive. Like every time they stick him in, whether it's at right tackle or left tackle, he's actually played well, rotating guys so they have experience. And one of the reports is that that's not something Colombo liked. It's something Joe Judge liked. In watching it this season, what has been your take on that? Because we've seen a lot of that this season with guys. Pert's, I think, the best example because he's a rookie and he's kind of been the one in and out, moving around a little bit. What's been your opinion on that system that they've used with their offensive line this year?
I think it has been a very proactive approach. And I think, let's think about this. Now, you drafted a lot of young offensive linemen. You got to get them ready for the future, right? But also, it tells you how well this staff thinks about the times we are in. Because we started the show by saying, hey, COVID is hitting somebody every week, right?
Yep, you're right.
So if you got a guy who hasn't played any reps and Will Hernandez goes down, who you got? So I think their approach to this has been spot on in terms of getting everybody ready because the conditions that they can't control can really debilitate your efforts to win a game.
Right.
So get them all ready, rotate them in, get them game reps, because we don't know when the next COVID positive test is going to come. Because they can do everything they want in their power to prevent it, but you can see it happen. So the way they've done this, this approach has been great, and it's allowed them to keep some symmetry in their offense. And that was the one thing I thought would suffer most is, well, these guys need their reps, you know, leave them out there. But the way they're teaching it and the way they practice and the way they rotate, it has worked out great for them.
Yeah, and it's happened. I mean, Will Hernandez missed a game. Matt Peart, unfortunately, I think, tested positive for COVID. So, yeah, especially in a year like this, it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, you get them in there and they're, you know, plug the next guy in.
You're right. Quickly on the game last week against Philadelphia, I mean, look, the turnovers being cut down is outstanding. Two straight games, Daniel Jones doesn't turn the ball over. But one thing that was very noticeable about this win is that this defense was perfect on third down. Perfect. 0-for-9, which couldn't be further from what we experienced the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, where defensively that was their biggest issue. They couldn't get off the field on third down at, you know, like it felt like a 60% clip, essentially. What's been the biggest difference with this defense? Because when you look at how they beat the Eagles 27-17, that's towards the top of the list. Their ability to just get off the field on third down. What's been the biggest difference between that being one of their biggest issues the first few weeks of the season to the perfection they pitched against the Eagles last weekend?
I think it's understanding the situation each and every third down that they're on the field. There are always some glaring holes and somebody making a mistake early on. But I think the way they coordinated their coverages and their pass rush, and I think the number one thing that they did on third down that kind of goes under the radar, aside from their coverages, they did not allow Carson Wentz to move out of the pocket. They made him read the defense from within the pocket because the defensive ends were up. If he tried to scramble, they would not let him out. He would have to step back up. And I just think that is what really impacted their ability to get off the field because he did not have the option to scramble for a first down or get one of those big off-schedule plays. And they understood it. They understood what they had to do, and they applied it. And sometimes understanding it and not applying it, you know, it's a lack of discipline. And I think we've seen this defense has become more and more disciplined and committed to the calls that are made and the fundamentals that are required to execute those calls.
Now the quarterback, second straight week he doesn't turn the ball over. I thought he played a lot better this past week than the week before. I thought he missed a couple of opportunities a week earlier, but I thought last Sunday was one of his most complete games. What'd you think overall of the performance of Daniel Jones?
I think that should be the Daniel Jones we see going forward. I know that's the expectation that he has for himself and beyond. But it really comes down, and we've seen this now, from the best in the league to the up-and-coming players in this league. Turnovers are killers, and you've got to be able to protect the football to give yourself a chance to win football games. And I think, you know, number one, they have a good running game that's working for them. He's included as part of that run game. That keeps him on schedule, but he's not taking unnecessary risk with the football, and that's important right now. And you know, I was having a conversation with someone Thursday night, watching the Thursday night football game, and you look at the guys like Murray and Wentz and Lamar Jackson, and I was like, these are aggressive players, and I know it's frustrating when they make mistakes, and even Russell Wilson. Just aggressive players, and they see the game on the move more so than in the pocket. And their biggest challenge is understanding that a bad play is not okay, because the quarterbacks that play aggressive, they don't look at it as if, boy, that was an interception. The guy's playing this. Josh Allen is a classic example. He's like, I just got to throw it harder. I just got to get it there faster. More so than, man, maybe I shouldn't have thrown that putt. But those guys see the game differently, and you have to teach and coach them a little different. You know, the guys that are more aggressive quarterbacks and are involved in movement so much. But, you know, as it relates to Daniel Jones, he's kind of a hybrid pocket passer that can get out of the pocket and make things happen. I think he's learned it from a traditional standpoint, coming from Duke, so he sees the game from the pocket out. But a lot of these kids coming in don't. They see it moving. They see it on the go because they're scramblers and they move. And, you know, the pocket is just one component of what they do, but a lot of it is on the run. So it's going to be interesting to see the quarterback position evolve as the seasons go by, because, you know, the teaching is not just from the pocket anymore.
Right. I can't believe I'm asking this question at 3-7, but it's a legitimate question. Can they win this division? I mean, you've seen them play the Eagles twice. You've seen them play the Cowboys once, Washington twice. I mean, they only have one divisional game left. But can the New York Giants, who are trending in the right direction, that's what they have over every other team in this division. They're hot. They've won two in a row. Can they win the NFC East?
I think they can compete for it if they continue down the track that they're on. I don't do predictions with this team this year because they're still young and they're still growing. But I think they can be in the conversation. Just put it that way. If they continue to play well, they'll be in the conversation.
Now, what are your early returns on NBA free agency? Are you happy? You're concerned? What are you thinking?
You know what? As it relates to teams outside of New York, I think it's been some interesting trades. I think the 76ers situation got better. I love that, and I don't know if there are any Clippers fans listening,
but
just love that Montrezl Harrell just said, you know what, I'm done with this, I'm going to the other side.
Yes, I mean, you talk about a heel turn.
Yeah, like completely like being the bruiser and not backing down to LeBron, and he just, you know, he was their bruiser, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go be their bruiser now.
And, you know what I think that came down to? I think he hates Paul George. There was such a fracture in that locker room, and I think he took that dislike for him and said, you know what I'm going to do? Now I'm going to kick your ass from the other side. I think that's basically what it came down to for Montrezl Harrell.
It probably did, because a lot of what Harrell does is blood, sweat, and tears, right? And then he sees, you know, Paul George, who's sometimes he's in, sometimes he's halfway in. And he's a front runner. I'll say it. He's a front runner. And he probably took offense to that. Mm. You know, it's hard to be mad at Kawhi Leonard Because, like I said, Kawhi Leonard's 40 or 24 points is all going to look the same. But, you know, the guy who should be your energy player in Paul George is just not the guy for them. So, you know, whatever. But I'm just laughing because he was the guy. He was the bruiser. He was the guy that was putting bodies on the ground against L.A., and he's just like, you know what, I'm done with this.
That was the biggest surprise last night of free agency. The other thing that was funny, I don't know if you followed this because it happened quickly, Dwight Howard tweets how excited he is to go back to the L.A. Lakers. You know, I'm purple and gold forever, whatever he tweets. And then an hour later, his agent says he's signing with the Sixers because apparently Dwight thought that the Lakers made an offer. They never did. And he ends up signing in Philadelphia. So he tweets out he's going back. And then an hour later, he's in Philadelphia with the 76ers. That was bizarre.
Yeah, I saw that one. But, you know, it's kind of the life of Howard right now. And yeah. I think he did a wonderful job in his role.
He did.
Especially in the playoffs. I think his big body in the playoffs was one of the reasons why they were able to compete, especially in the finals when they put him in. He could move some people around.
He played well, no doubt.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun thing. And, you know, it's just another thing, you know, me and my thoughts on Saturdays. Aside from folks like the small majority of people like yourself, small minority of people like yourself who really follow your team and, you know, draft choices and the contribution. And where those guys came from.
Right.
I sat and I looked at Twitter on draft night, Knicks Twitter, right? And Knicks fans are up in arms over Obi Toppin. And here's the thing. I bet with the exception of like five geeks, no one knows anything about Obi Toppin. They never saw him play, but here's why. There was no NCAA tournament.
No, I know. You're right.
And
that's when
most of the fans get their Reader's Digest version of who's good in college basketball.
Right, right.
And they're like, I'm denouncing my Knicks. I never want to lose it. We should have, because Stephen A. Smith said, personally, he thought they should have gotten a guard.
Right.
So everybody else, they should have gotten a guard. They couldn't name a guard available. When it's picked. And the other thing, too, about draft choices in the NBA, unless you're top four, five in a strong draft, the guy you drafted probably won't even be good for you. Unless you're a contender, because look at all the, just go through the list over the last, let's say, 5 or 10 years, right, of high draft choices, but six and down. They normally don't get good until they're on somebody else's team.
Sometimes,
as a free agent. Think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, these guys get through their rookie deals, and they become marginally good for the teams that drafted them. Then they go somewhere else, and it's like, wow, I didn't even know the Knicks drafted this guy.
I do think with Knicks fans that there's this whiplash of things not working out, and so there's an assumption without really seeing Obi Toppin to know it's going to be a typical bust. I mean, I think that there's kind of that Knicks fan whiplash that some people still suffer from, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Just understand the Knicks cleared $40 million cap space, so they tell you they have no talent. So they're rebuilding, and he's a part of that.
Right.
What do you expect him to do on a team with no talent?
Just come in and do his
job and, you know, show that he's part of the future for the team.
No, you're right. I got you.
But it amazes me, the whiplash, like you said, of fans that just – I'm looking at it, and this guy was just like, I'm done with the Knicks. They make me sick. Obi Toppin, what is this all about? I'm just saying to myself, you've probably never seen him play before.
No,
you heard three names coming into the draft.
Right.
Wiseman, Ball, and what's the
Anthony
other name?
Edwards. Anthony Edwards, right.
Those are the only three names you heard.
Yeah.
So if you weren't picking in the top three, you have no idea who your guy is because there was no NCAA tournament, and most people that are, you know, fans consider themselves fans, but not big college basketball watchers, would have no idea.
Yeah. I think sometimes you make projections on need for your team. Like, hey, Knicks need a lead guard. Knicks need a point guard. And I get it, they do, but you got to find the best available player. And if Obi Toppin becomes a real good NBA player, it doesn't matter if he's a four or if he's a point guard. You got to get talent. And look, right. One thing you got to like about this kid, though, Carl, is he wants to be here. I mean, he's shedding tears. He was born in Brooklyn. He went to Ossining High School. That doesn't mean he's going to be great, but there is something nice as a fan to kind of see that emotion of somebody that truly wants to be here.
I agree. And it's been a minute since we had a homegrown basketball player that comes back home and is excited to be here. And I'm all on board for him. I'm going to go get me a jersey.
Get it done.
Carl, get me a Toppin jersey.
Enjoy your bye weekend. Thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Carl Banks, he also gave us the keys to somehow the Giants winning the NFC East, and the keys to that were brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give everything. Introducing the first ever Kia K5 out with the old, first ever Kia K5 out with the old, new, in with the turbocharged new. We'll come back and talk New York Jets football with Brian Costello.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.